everyone. Welcome to Writing Easy, a podcast that takes the somewhat difficult task of, no, the really difficult task of writing and tries to make it a little easier. I'm Mary Mascari.
And I'm Melissa Long.
How's it going?
Good.
It's pouring rain outside. Like, there's a thunderstorm, so if you hear lightning and thunder, well, you won't hear lightning. If you hear thunder, it is the angels bowling in heaven.
Or vampires playing baseball, according to Twilight.
It is vampires playing baseball. That is exactly what it is. What are we talking about this week?
When to invest in your writing and how to do that. So I'm really excited to have that conversation with you and see how you've invested in yourself as a writer.
It's really, I mean, we've both invested a little bit in that. We both took time to get master's degrees. That's something.
Yeah, not a small investment.
Yeah, I think we can go a little. It doesn't all have to be that. Yeah, this is the message of Writing Easy. Everyone go get a master's degree because it's right for everybody.
Done. We're closing shop.
Done. And what I've also found is once you get a master's degree, you know everything about the topic and you're done. You're good.
Maybe a small amount of debt, but you know.
Yeah. But we always start with a quote. And you found a really cool quote, so I want you to read this one because it's really neat.
Yeah, the quote is, I'll read the quote first, and then I'll tell you where I heard it, and then who actually said it originally. But the quote is, if they don't offer you a seat at the table, bring a folding chair. And yeah. I saw this on Twitter. It was like all over my social media feeds last week. And it was being tagged to Oprah Winfrey. And apparently, the Hollywood Reporter on the first week of May had a new event called the Empowerment and Entertainment Event. And Oprah got this big award. And it's all about, the whole conversation was about the wage gap between genders and how women are treated in entertainment. And so that's what she was referencing. And she was talking about her first experience in the show going nationwide and how she got a big raise and promotion, but they didn't want to pay her producers. And she fought to get her producers' pay. And all of her producing staff were females. And they didn't think that they were worth the extra money. And they were like, why would we pay them? They don't need it. So it's really interesting if you
can surely their husbands will take care of them.
Right. That was the idea. And she said that she got paid less because she was single. And they thought, you don't have a family or a mortgage to take care of, so we don't need to pay you more. Oprah. Yes.
So, well, I think she fixed, you know, she took care of that problem for herself.
Right. Yes. She proved them wrong. But Oprah is not the originator of that quote. So she was referencing Shirley Chisholm, who is the first African-American female in Congress. Yeah. I think it applies even, like, yes, it was used in a gender conversation about feminism and equality of pay, and it's been used in terms of minorities. But I also think it really applies to all writers, because when I think at what's at the core of that quote, I think about knowing your worth and not being afraid to stand up and articulate that. And so you see it with, like, right now in LA with the Writers Guild and the writers, you know, standing up and pushing back against agents for equal pay and pay and a whole bunch of other things that are going on there. But constantly, I feel like writers are seen as the lowest on the totem pole and getting very little money for being the originators of all this incredible content.
Well, we're not as good looking.
No. But we are also not disposable. So know your worth, bring your folding chair.
Yeah. And I think that you can apply that principle not just to the business end of writing, but to the creative end as well. To think, you know, that your voice matters and what you have to say and your take on what you're creating is important. Because I think a lot of times it's difficult, particularly in writing, but maybe in other forms as well, is to feel like, oh, I'm not very good. I don't deserve to be a writer creatively. And that's just not true. You know, you absolutely bring up a folding chair, say your stuff, use your voice. Everyone has the right to do that.
I think that's really powerful. I think sometimes we psych ourselves out, especially if we're genre writers and the genre is mainly females or mainly males, or, you know, like we may say, oh, well, I can't break through, or I can't make it in this business. I can't tell this story because nobody else has told this story in this way. And that's not true.
So investing in yourself. And we're talking financially, emotionally, I don't know what other ways. Psychologically, culinarily, I got nothing. So you've got a whole bunch of stuff. I know you've done a lot of good research about this. Tell me, like, so why? What are we talking about? Why is this important to know that people need to invest in themselves?
Well, essentially, I think that it goes back to the quote, right? And knowing your worth. I think mm-hmm. that because writing is such a sort of low cost activity to dive into, like when you think about starting a business, if I want to start a restaurant, I need a couple $100,000 at least to be able to take on that idea and that project. Writing is not that way, right? Like I can get a pen and a paper and I can start writing a story. I don't even mm-hmm. technically need a computer, although eventually you would need to type it up. There's this idea that because I'm not making an immediate profit and because it's so low cost to start doing, that any investment financially or taking time away from your kids or your mm-hmm. work and your everyday job is like indulgent. And we mm-hmm. kind of feel this guilt and shame about doing it. And so what I wanted to bring this up because I think it's very important, regardless of whether you're, doing this as a hobby and a passion or you're trying to make it a career, that you think about how you invest in yourself and your writing and carving out that space and making sure you have the resources to mm-hmm. do, like, to achieve your goal.
I know a lot of people will say that, like, oh, I can't write. I'm no good at it. It's like, well, what do you mean? Like, you don't have to be a writer. You don't have to be a creative person. Like, there's no such thing as a creative person.
Yeah.
It's like being a hungry person. It's like, what? I don't, you know, how do you? Yeah, I think it's important to realize, yes, you can. You are qualified to ask for what you need. And whether that's money, either from someone else or out of your budget, or time. For me, that's the difficult one, is the time. You know, every minute I spend up in my office writing is a minute I'm not downstairs doing one of the thousands of things I have to do, which are also very important. But yeah, so I have to invest in that. And that's important to me. And I'm allowed to ask for it.
You are allowed to ask for it. I feel like time is so, sometimes people think, well, if I don't have kids, then like time is not a thing, right? And I get that. Like, if you have kids, like, your time is, like, so precious because there are a billion things that you're trying to navigate. But that said, I feel really adamant that you shouldn't feel guilt or shame by, like, writing during, you know, swim practice or, like, paying the neighborhood kid to come and babysit your kids for an hour so you can go to the coffee shop and write. It's like carving out, giving yourself permission to carve out the space to do the writing. And that's just as important as the books you buy or the courses you take. So the way that I was thinking of this is sort of the levels or different types of resources that you can invest in, right? And so we kind of hit on time, and there are different things that you can do. And that's relatively low cost, mm-hmm. right? In terms of financial dollars.
Yeah.
Unless you're taking time off work, which I have done, right?
Unless you're taking time off work. Cut your hours back. I work part-time specifically so I have time to write. I'm fortunate that I'm able to do that.
So there's nothing wrong with that.
But yeah, you can certainly, it's like anything, you could invest too much, you can invest. This question is the difference between investing and spending.
I may have fallen into that trap once or twice of just spending because I could without like really being thoughtful about the investment I was making.
So in order to get a return on investment, you have to think about what it is you're trying to accomplish. What do you want to get out of this? What is your long-term goal? It, you know, it's always really important to have a goal. I'm not good at goals. We've talked about this before, that it's hard for me to do this. But that's always a good first thing to think about is, what am I trying to accomplish here? Like, why am I getting this? Am I getting this because I think this book is going to make it as easy to write as it says it will? Hint, it will not. It's like, I'll buy a craft book or a research book because I feel like it's going to meet a need that I have. And then sometimes I don't even read it. Like, as if, just owning it, that's all I need to do.
Do you sleep with it under your pillow so to just, like, absorb? I'm like, well,
Mary, you got to read the darn thing. Mary, you gotta...
It's not working.
Just awesome. I just rub it on my flesh. Is that not how you're supposed to do it? It's not right. And all the words are coming off. And I've gone through so many Kindles.
I think to your point, you do have to have a goal, right? You have to know what it is you're trying to accomplish. And if your goal is like, I just want to write my memoir And, you know, I'm happy. I don't want to make a career out of this. I just have this one story that I really want to tell. Mm-hmm. That's fine. And then I think you should prioritize your investments on learning the craft and figuring out how to do writing a memoir, right? Maybe not getting an MFA if, like, your only goal is to write that one story. Your only goal mm-hmm. is to get your work out there, but you're not looking to make a permanent career. It's just like, I have these poems that I want to share and I want people to read and see them. That's fine.
And there's nothing wrong with that. It's no, that, right. I mean, if you know someone who says like, oh, I play the guitar. Do you like, oh yeah, have you recorded anything? Right? Like, who does that? It's awful. Or he's like, oh yeah, I like to paint in my spare time. Oh yeah? When's your gallery showing? Like that's, you know, but if you say, oh, I write, like, oh, you yeah. published? Like, are you really a writer? And that's, I hate that. That irritates me. So yeah, so if your goal is, I want to write this one book, or I just want to write for fun and I'd like to get a little better at it, or, you know, I want my fanfic to be better, go for it. Yeah, whatever makes you happy, man. But know what you're trying to accomplish.
And I think, you know, if you have a ton of discretionary income and taking a master's program or taking the other things makes you happy, then do it. I think that at the bottom line is like, do what makes you feel happy and brings you joy. But, you know, don't feel pressured that like, I can't write this book because I don't have these letters behind my name, or I don't have this, I'm not this member of this association. You don't need that.
Mm-hmm. So maybe we could talk about some of the things that one might spend one's discretionary income on, for good or for ill. Because, you know, like anything, you can really dump a lot of your money on it if you want to. You can get crazy. But what are some of the things that the buckets in which we can put our financial investment and what we make get back from it?
Yeah, so we've already talked about time.
Mm-hmm. And time is critical because you can't write without time.
Well, I think if you're a professional, one of the things, or trying to be professional, trying to earn a living off of your writing, I think it's really, really critical that you invest in some programs like software and resources that are going to help you do the business end of this. So like thinking about your marketing and your branding and your mm-hmm. promotion, because even no matter how you get published, no matter how you get out there, people need to be able to mm-hmm. find you. They need to be able to learn about you. You need to have business cards when you're going and doing networking things. And there needs to be some consistency there. So you can spend as little as $5 or $10 on business cards and as much as, you know, $150 or $200. There's a big spectrum in these things, but it's important that you do them.
I like Moo cards very much. They're smaller than most business cards. They're like at half the size, but they're on a really cool stock of paper. And they got beautiful patterns on the back, or you can put a custom picture on it. They're really nice. They're great little cards. I actually need to get some more now that I think about it.
Yeah, and they're like, what, like $14 or something? I mean, they're very inexpensive. Yeah,
maybe, certainly not more than 20. I'm literally writing down Moo cards on my...
Write it down. But I think like even so, a great example of the RWA annual conference. So I went for years as a member. That is a huge investment of time because it's like four days maybe. You have to travel, right? So you've got your hotel, you've got your flight yeah. or your car. The registration for that conference is like $400 or so. It's very expensive. And then you have your food, your promotional materials, all of that. But it was worth it given where I was in my career, because there's learning workshops, there's opportunities to pitch to agents and editors, there's networking, and you also get a ton of free books, which is yeah. amazing.
Yeah, writing, a lot of writing conferences. Sometimes they're genre-based, sometimes not. Sometimes they're professional, sometimes not. I've found a lot of them to be very useful. They're a really good place to go to learn craft, to learn industry, to meet other writers, to just hang out with people. They're fantastic and they're super fun usually. So it's a can be a very good way to spend your money. And things you'll get out of that are some more knowledge, right? So you can learn some things, you can take some workshops and things. You can pitch to agents. So if you've got a project you're trying to pitch, you can pitch to them. And then you can also get connections in the industry, both with agents and editors and just from other people sharing information. So that's what that investment will get you, what the return on that investment is.
Yeah. And for me, I always come back inspired. I've never come back from a conference being like, I hate writing. I don't want to think about this. I am pumped.
Yeah.
I am a little annoyed that I have to go to my everyday job because all I want to do is sit in my home in front of my computer and write because I've got such a burst of energy and motivation from being surrounded by writers. And the bar can be a good investment too.
Absolutely.
There are lots of writers, editors, agents, managers, a lot of people hanging out at the bar. So it's a great way to meet people.
Yeah.
Plug for we should plug our networking for introverts episode.
Yes, we should. Hopefully you've listened to that already. If you haven't, go back. We'll wait. Oh, look, you're back. How'd you enjoy it? Was it good? Excellent.
Great.
I remember when I was starting off, I spent a lot of money on things that weren't worth it because it felt like I was doing work.
Like what?
It felt like progress. So I spent a lot of time and energy on my office, getting my office all set. When you're spending more time preparing to write than actually writing, you're probably stalling. And you're probably not spending your money well. That's not a good investment of your time and money.
I'm trying to think of, I feel like the things that I spend money on that are not usually worth it are these like online, like social media things. Oh, like my newsletter. I had a newsletter for a while, which everybody was like, oh, you have to have a newsletter. You've got a captive audience. It's a great way to promote your work and to let them know when new releases are out. And one, I hate writing like posts and like, you know, content for a newsletter. I couldn't do it frequently. I spent a ton of time and energy and money on the template and the design and which program I was going to use. And then I never really knew how to leverage all of the features. So I was paying for these features that I didn't need. And ultimately, I had about 100 people on there. It was never like this massive newsletter. Mm-hmm. And most of them were like friends and family who were already seeing updates on Facebook. So it was one of those things where it seemed like the thing to do to take my career to the next level, but I just didn't have the time. Like I needed to spend my time writing and not creating a newsletter.
But it can feel really good, right? Like you feel like a legit writer if you're spending all that time. So it can be a trap. Now, sometimes you really do, you know, that's a good investment, but beware.
Yeah, depends on where you are. And those things shift, right? Technology is shifting. It's like what's hot one day, everybody's like, oh, you got to have this. And then next time it's like, hello, MySpace. Does anybody use LiveJournal? Nobody uses those.
That would be really funny. Be like, oh, come to my MySpace page.
I was at an event and somebody was like, I have a MySpace page. I love it. I know nobody uses it, but if you want, go check it out. And I was like, I don't know. So what good purchases have you made? Like what good investments have you made in your writing?
For me personally, the MFA was a good investment. I was at a point where I felt I needed more individualized attention in, you know, teaching. You know, I've been going to workshops. I've been reading books. I've been working. I'm like, I need someone one-on-one to tell me what's going on. I wanted to meet more fellow writers who had my same level of commitment. And I'd always wanted to get a master's degree anyway. So for me at that time, that was a good, very good investment. Other things that have been useful, like Scrivener, really doesn't cost very much. And I love it. I use it all the time. Really good money I've spent. When it comes to my office, I have recently spent money on getting it set up so it's comfortable for me. So that it's ergonomic. That's been a good spend of my money. And I think a lot of... with craft books, it's hit or miss, and you never know until you read it if it's any good or not. There are some that I think have been helpful and some that aren't. One of my favorite ones was Russell T. Davis, who wrote for Doctor Who.
Oh.
For the Ninth and Tenth Doctor. He wrote a book called The Writer's Tale, and it's just all kind of all about how he writes and how he does stuff and just his process. And I loved that book so much. How about you? What are some good things you spent money on?
I mean, a lot of it's the same thing. So I feel like the degree was definitely worth it for the same reasons you shared. And Scrivener, like if you were not using Scrivener or you were not using a writing specific software other than Word, like let us introduce you to some better programs, because Word is great, and if you're just starting out, like, go for it. But Scrivener has so many more features. I've also heard of folks, like, when I went into screenwriting, there are a lot of folks trying to write screenplays in programs that are not designed to do that, and the formatting mm-hmm. is really wonky. And, like, just save yourself the trouble. There are a lot of free programs and very low-cost programs. Scrivener has a screenwriting template built into it that you can use. So, like, take advantage of that.
I remember I was writing some screenplays, and I spent a lot of time tricking Word out to do the formatting right. I never got it completely right, but I spent a lot of time getting it all set up and making it work. And I was very pleased that I got it. I was like, yes. But yeah, talk about investments. Like, or I could have spent $30. I don't think Scrivener was around then, and I think the only option at that point was Final Draft, which is not a cheap,
it's not cheap
piece of software. So I think I had to do that. But now, yeah, Scrivener, is it $50? Is it?
Yeah, I think it's like $50 and like $25 to upgrade. And
so worth it. I don't think there's really any competition. People either adore Scrivener or they haven't really started it yet.
Yeah. And I would say take the time, like, buy the software. There are other price points for, especially for screenwriting things. So you don't have to do Final Draft, which is like $150 or something like that. You can do the cheaper, like, free versions of, like, Writer Duet is one that I've used a lot. It's online based. It's like $10 a month if you don't want to use the free version. So there's a lot of other things, and they can export into Final Draft. So take advantage of those opportunities, but also learn how to use the programs. Because Scrivener, I hear people say, like, oh, like, I don't like it. It's clunky. It's this, it's that. There are so many features, and you can take a quick class on mm-hmm. how to maximize those features, and it'll make your life so much easier.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I love Scrivener, and I'm a computery person. I mean, that's my day job is computery stuff. But even just this last, I think it was this last year, I was on a panel at a science fiction con where we were talking about writing tools, and someone was on there, and she showed me a new thing in Scrivener that I'd never seen before. And I was like, hold up. So it's like, yeah, definitely worth it.
I will also say, in terms of software, investing in my MacBook was hands down one of the best investments. And I think that there is some tension there because it is an expensive purchase. Mm-hmm. But I will say that, one, you should have a computer that is powerful enough not only to store your writing, but to store all of your research. Like, I am a visual person, so I have tons of photos and images and videos as part of my research. And because I write fantasy and science fiction, there's a lot of world building that goes into that. And there is nothing worse than losing your stuff. So have in a cloud service, have a backup hard drive, make sure you have space to store the things that you need to access in order to write your story.
That's another good thing, talk about investment, right? So have some equipment that's reliable, whether Mac or PC, whatever you want, make sure it's reliable. And then absolutely back it up. There's no excuse now. I mean, you can get Dropbox for free, Google Docs for free, OneDrive for free. You've got a lot of free cloud space. So what I do is I have my Scrivener backs up, and I have that backup going to a drive that syncs to Dropbox. I also use Jungle Disk to back up my computer every day. So I've got two backups. Because, you know, like, you always hear these horror stories of people who are like, oh my God, it's all gone. Like, well, back it up.
Yes.
So that's a good investment.
Not just your current project, but the old projects, especially because so many things are digital and you're like, oh, I need a copy of this manuscript of this book that I finished and was sold 5 years ago.
Yeah.
You need to have that. You don't want to lose those files.
Yeah. And I've got it in paper under my bed. Now I have to retype it. Good luck. And then I think the last area of things to invest in, you know, really when you're running your business, right? The business of being a writer. And that's a big thing. We could do a whole series on that.
Yeah.
But you've got some really good things listed here that you're going to have to spend money on if this is going to be your business. This is going to be your living.
I mean, I really think about it as like the services that you pay for, right? So especially if you're like self-publishing or indie publishing, paying for a quality editor. It is a large expense if you're not getting income early on your work, which you won't because nobody will be buying the book because it's not finished, right? So dropping $800 for an editor or more is can feel really scary. But you have got to have a quality product or that train stops. It is not going to move forward. So take the time to find a good editor, pay for those services. I also would say, like, leverage an agent or leverage an attorney. Mm-hmm. And this is something that I see a lot of writers who are starting a business, like, they don't know, like, how should I file this? What kind of expenses should I have? Do they have somebody looking over their contracts? Like, even if you're self-publishing, if you're writing with a partner, you should still have a contract to figure out how you're going to split the royalties and who's going to do what. And I see a lot of people do that and then get burned because they didn't have that contract or they had one that they didn't get reviewed by an attorney. No, you should just double check the fine print. You know, like, are you selling just, you know, certain rights or are you selling all of your rights? Like, you should know that before you sign a contract.
I'm looking at your list here. I feel like we've covered a lot of things. The other thing I'm seeing on here that we didn't talk about were classes, you know, writing coaches and writing classes. We mentioned MFA, but that's kind of the big mama of all of it. And we talked about workshops, which are probably like the other end of the spectrum. But, you know, there are writing classes. Especially if you live in a near a city, you probably have ones you can go to in person. And I do feel, you know, next week we're going to be talking about critiquing, so I'll get into critique groups. But, you know, there was like find a good writer's group, but the important part of that is a good writer's group where you feel welcome and happy. And that, you know, that can be free, right? Because you're exchanging your time. You're spending your time reading someone else's thing in exchange for their critique. And that's another investment of time, is critiquing for people. Yeah, so there's some cheaper ways of teaching yourself without having to do an expensive class. But there could be some cute, fun ones. Libraries sometimes will have them. You go to your library, there'll be a writing class.
I would say, like, because there's so many different types of classes. And yes, the quality varies. And there's in-person ones. There's on-demand ones. There's they vary in price depending on how much time and energy it takes the instructor to do the class. But I will say that, like, you can leverage things like Twitter and Facebook groups to find classes, to get recommendations. So before you toss out $100 to take a class, you can ask people, have you ever taken a class from this university? Was it good? You know, is it good for genre writers or is it more literary based? Am I going to fit in? And, like, who's the professor? And people are really generous with their knowledge on those online communities. So take advantage of that. And that's free. You can join those communities for free, right? Mm-hmm.
Well, is it free though, really? Is any social media really free?
Just selling your privacy, but, you know.
I got plenty of that. I got that in spades. I got so much left over. All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for us this time. Hopefully this will kind of help you guys get a good idea of, you know, what we're how to decide where you want to spend your money and time, what you're looking for, what to use to make that decision. So I guess so. Other business things, other housekeeping stuff. We have Instagram, Twitter, Facebook accounts. Writing Easy. Please follow us on Twitter because I do the Twitter. Melissa does the Instagram. We both do the Facebook, and no one's following me on Twitter. And it makes me feel kind of sad.
Every once in a while, I'm like, oh, I should check Twitter and like her post.
Please. Yeah, it's pretty pathetic. I put stuff out. You should watch it. Okay, but if more important than any of that, we need reviews. They help us so much. Ratings and reviews in iTunes. Go to iTunes and just, you know, take 2 minutes and write a quick thing, you know, give us some stars. 5 would be great if you can, and write a quick thing just to say, you know, here's what it is. It'll help other people find us. And it's not, you don't have to write a book. Please don't, you know, just a quick little couple sentences. Sometimes the quantity of reviews is really important. You know, obviously say something real, don't just blah 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 blah, but you don't have to get too much into it, but it really helps us out a lot. So I think if nothing else, that's the key thing.
Yeah. And tell your friends to listen to us too.
My mom's listening to us.
My dad's listening to us.
Yay. Well, I guess we got our parents with us. That's good. That's all we need. Alrighty, I think we should close out. What do you say?
I think that's right. Yeah.
All right. Writing is hard.
So take it easy.
I have been Mary Mascari.
And I'm Melissa Long.
Bye, everybody.